Good morning, good afternoon, everyone. We will begin the interested persons meeting on charter reform. I will turn it over to our Director of Policy, Tyler Joseph, and we're also joined by Vice President Commissioner Jeff Darr and Commissioner Laura Janelle.
All right, thank you very much, Eric. David, is there anything we need to do given that we do have a quorum here?
We don't. Rick is not going to be participating in this meeting.
Oh, okay.
But it's agenda. The meeting is agendized just in case.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Sounds good. Well, welcome everyone. My name is Tyler Joseph. I'm the policy director with the Ethics Commission. This is an interested persons meeting for the commission's ad hoc committee on charter reform, specifically sections 700 through 712. If you were able to join us last time, and I'm actually sorry, Eric, do we have anybody calling in yet? Do we want to give it a few minutes for potential participants?
It looks like we do not have participants present at the moment. We can give it a few minutes if you'd like.
Yeah, before I read off all this information, I think maybe we should give it a couple of minutes because I do have the technical stuff about the number that they'll need to dial in to make comment and the passcode and all that sort of thing. So maybe if we just give it a few minutes to see if we have any participants, that would be good.
Okay, sure.
Commissioner Darr, maybe in order to ensure that we make the most use of your time and Commissioner Janelle's time, you'd like to make any introductory statements, and that way we can use that time while people are logging in to make comments.
Certainly. Would you like me to proceed, Commissioner Janelle? Or you want to go first? Okay. So welcome, everybody. A very brief explanation in addition to what's already been sent out. So the Ethics Commission formed an ad hoc charter reform subcommittee comprised of myself and Commissioner Janelle. We've been charged with looking at potential recommendations to make to the Ethics Commission, or just a subcommittee, for consideration on recommendations that ultimately the Ethics Commission may or may not want to make as to possible reforms to the structure of the Ethics Commission in order to make the Ethics Commission potentially function better, more efficiently, and so on. Very broad charge to the subcommittee. A big part of this is what we're doing today, which is we want to make this a true working group committee. So we're having our first interested persons meeting focusing on the charter provisions, section 700, that specifically deal with the duties and powers of the Ethics Commission. And that's Los Angeles City Charter sections 700. We may or may not at a separate meeting look at other portions of the city charter or other issues. And specifically, we really would welcome and want public comment on possible things for us to consider. One big note I need and should make, which is we're very cognizant of the fact that the Ethics Commission does not have the power to make the changes that we may or may not recommend. These would have to be made, if they're to the charter, by the voters and go through a whole charter process that the Ethics Commission could do no more than just make recommendations and requests. And similarly, if there were changes to ordinances, the Ethics Commission does not have such power. It's the city council and city government. So we are doing this as part of a process of looking at things that we may or may not first at the subcommittee level recommend to the Ethics Commission, and then ultimately for the Ethics Commission to be on record for, with the idea that if there are such recommendations from the Ethics Commission, they hopefully would have value to our city for purposes of at least what the Ethics Commission believes could be reforms that would be made. And again, we're starting with no agenda whatsoever other than the beginning of the process, which is today's meeting. I will also share that there are ideas that the subcommittee is looking at. Again, we're starting with a very broad brush. We want to hear from everybody. While we wait, I will just make note that possible areas that we may want to look at further. This is not intended to be anything limiting or inclusive, would be proposing that there be a prohibition on commissioners from being employed or being employed by city bidders, contractors, and developers, looking at the current process for the removal of a member of the Ethics Commission, looking at the charter provisions dealing with the executive director, which include a term limit, whether or not there should be any type of minimum salary range and adjustments for consumer price index, whether or not the manner in which commissioners should be involved in the selection process of the executive director of the Ethics Commission. Another area that we're looking at would be just whether or not to specify that all staff are exempt from civil service. Another would be with the administration of the Ethics Commission, whether or not the number of staff needed and hiring freezes should be looked at as a part of the charter. Also looking at the budget issues and approvals that are necessary for the administration of the Ethics Commission. Another one would be in regard to prosecutions and enforcement types proceedings, whether or not the current probable cause determination should be re-examined and possibly eliminated. Another one in the area of enforcement would be whether or not restitution should be something that should be added as a possible charter change. Similarly, under enforcement, we may look at whether or not the current maximum penalty should be changed. Another one would be right now, the charter with regard to So looking at the issue of who is the legal counsel for the Ethics Commission and whether or not that should be outside counsel versus the default of being the city attorney. Another would be to look at whether or not a special prosecutor should be authorized when there's a conflict of interest with the city attorney and looking at those provisions. And another one, and again, these are not inclusive. These are not necessarily ones we're going to be acting on, but just to sit here and sort of set some ideas of things that we may be further looking at as a subcommittee for our recommendations to this commission. And that would be the issue of the budget, which, for example, I haven't been giving section numbers of the charter, but that would be 7-11, but whether or not there should be in the charter minimum budget adjustments for consumer price index, provisions for staffing level, percentage of maybe doing it as a part of a general budget, all types of ideas that could be done, and other types of possible reforms. And the last one I'll just mention for today, and then we could hear for our first meeting what public comment and interested person discussion we may have would be power of the Ethics Commission and the manner of which it is done for proposing ordinance changes and charter changes in the future. So those are all just possible things, just trying to get everyone sort of have some thoughts on the areas they may want to provide comment on. This is a process that will be organic, and we really appreciate and want to have the public be part of this subcommittee so we can get your input, and we really welcome it. Commissioner Janelle, anything you want to add?
No, just thank you for undertaking the effort and for putting it on the radar of the commission. Really, personally, I'm thankful for those who are participating today. That includes the staff. And also, I'll be looking at issues of independence, efficiency of administration, and efficiency of public access. Those are areas that I think I would appreciate input on. And anyone who's commenting today really would value you putting your comments in writing, as well as directly to us today. And any red lines that you may have would be especially helpful. Thank you.
Great. And I will note that another area we're looking at, of course, is how do ethic commissions and other jurisdictions work? It's always good to see what may or may not work in other places. And maybe at the end of the day, we'll recommend no changes. Again, nothing is predetermined here at all. Just want to make sure that everyone understands we're at the beginning of the process and we really want to hear from everyone.
Thank you, commissioners. For those participating in public comment, please press *9 to raise your hand. Please press *9 to raise your hand. We do have one public comment. And public commenter ending in 208. You will have 3 minutes. You will be prompted to unmute. You are unmuted.
Hi, good afternoon. It's Rob Kwan. Thank you for having this today. And I wanted to highlight, you know, kind of three big top line things. Protected budget. This is something that we've all grown to understand. And I don't think it's best to tie it to, you know, somebody else in City Hall, just because that may not make a lot of sense. And, you know, if we tied it to City Council, what would happen if we increased the size of City Council later on? A number like $8 million, I think, you know, there's a whole lot we could identify to you know, really utilize that money. And that's what LAPD spends in a day. So whatever number you come to, set it as a floor, tie it to CPI. I agree that, you know, San Francisco, the ability to place an ordinance on the ballot, you know, changes the dynamics in City Hall. That should probably be, you know, a limited authority to place measures on a ballot. But I do think for all matters that this commission sends to council should be on a clock. And that is the case with some things with like our ad code, but I think requiring a hearing by the council within 90 days and then requiring a full vote of the council within 6 months. You know, that's not to say they need to necessarily vote it up or down and have no ability to amend it. But I think the importance is the things that you send to them should be heard in a timely manner. The other issue is, you know, if we give you this great budget and we give you this new authority, that might change it, you know, the dynamics and how our elected officials lean on commissioners. And I think removing the ability of elected officials to play into the appointment process is something that needs to be done, with the exception of maybe the city controller, just because that's a unique position that does not have a significant amount of authority within City Hall. Specific charter sections that I think should be evaluated, 700A. Increasing the size of the commission to 7 members would allow for a whole lot more flexibility, ensuring you have a commission that reflects the diversity of the city, and also allow the ability to tailor the qualifications of some of those commissioners. I do think that the 5-year term is maybe a bit long. I know that it's been one of those things where, because of the restrictions on commissioners, it can be hard to find somebody willing to jump into a 5-year term. Reducing that to 4 years might make a lot of sense. And you know, I think, assuming there is an independent appointment process, maybe consider removing term limits for our commissioners. I think for 700D, the qualification requirements for a portion of the commissioners should be tied to, you know, specific areas, like people with experience in politics or campaign finance, experience in good government, local civic organizations. There are a lot of ways that could, you know, be divvied up, but I just think in general, having more commissioners and maybe a few that are tailored would ensure that we have the right balance. I think for 701A, the executive director's salary should be removed from council authority, and maybe potentially left up to the commissioners by a majority vote. I think the 10-year limit on the executive director should be removed. Or at least relaxed to ensure that the commission can retain a qualified and consistent leadership. For 706C, the monetary penalty should definitely be increased.
Sure. One moment, just pause for 1 second. I'm sorry. Technically, your 3 minutes are up, but we're going to extend that because I just want to make that clear. So please continue. And obviously, if you'd like to submit anything in writing, as Commissioner Genoa had mentioned and was in our notice that went out, that would be helpful and welcomed. But we're extending your time just so it doesn't show for everyone that your time is up.
I appreciate it. And I will be submitting these bullet points in writing. But I think that, Councilmember Krikorian, Backed Up for Citizens United, introduced something asking for an increase in penalties, and they heard that it would have to go through the charter and then go anywhere after that. Outside counsel is definitely something that this commission needs. And I do have a few more on issues that are outside of the scope of the specific sections of 700 to 712. When it comes to conflicts of interest, we have this commission deeply involved in our commissioners' potential conflicts of interest, but in no way involved in our council members' conflicts of interest. And I think something as simple as requiring our council members to file their recusals in writing with the commission so the commission can maintain a database of that would be extremely helpful, because our council members are really bad at following the law there, and forcing them to put something in writing will ensure that they actually do follow the letter of the law. Section 471 limits the use of the matching funds trust fund to campaign financing in the form of limited public matching funds. This would, to varying extents, limit or prohibit the ability of this city to move toward increasing the total matching funds available for a candidate, moving to something different like democracy vouchers, or creating a full public financing system. This may be something that may be controversial to learn there, but I think that, simply amending this language so that there is flexibility to create a different program via ordinance would be ideal. You could even require that change in program go to the voters for approval. I think one area that we do need some clarity, and this is in part because there are other things popping up with IGs at over, LADWP, or, there's been a proposal to have an IG in the planning department. I think that we just need a whole lot more clarity, because we have harassment hotlines. I have no idea how the Ethics Commission is involved in that. Maybe clarifying the role of, the IG and LAPD and LADWP would be helpful. I also think that, with the idea of creating an IG in the planning department, that could be a position that reports directly to the Ethics Commission. I also think, just generally speaking, having talked to some of our council members about the Ethics Commission, there's a perception that violations don't really go anywhere, or that, you just have to pay a fine a few years later. And I think that it would be really ideal. I mean, you have a limited jurisdiction and you can't deal with that hard corruption stuff, but when we're dealing with soft corruption, this commission should be able to weigh in on matters long before they actually do as it stands now. And just to give you a few examples, in the 2020 election, back in 2019, David Rue sent around a communication via his office holder account, a very weighty one, that was in violation of our limits on how an office holder account can be used. And there's nothing that has come of that as of now. For 2 weeks leading into Election Day in November of 2020, David Rue did not file a single communication from his campaign. That's something I pointed out repeatedly. And I noticed a few months ago, I looked, and those communications have found themselves into the Ethics Commission's database. So at some point in those 2 years, those communications were filed, which just feels a little silly that 2 weeks in the most crucial point of a campaign, somebody was not filing things. And
we need to be very, later, I'm sorry, we've been very generous with time, but we need to be very focused on what we're doing today specifically, which is tying anything into potential charter reform recommendations that we may make and explore.
That's all I've got, and I provided those examples so that you have a few crystal clear examples. And I just think in general, there is a perception amongst our, I've had a council member tell me, in my campaign, my first one I ran for city council, I filed a bunch of complaints and nothing came of it. And they were of the mind that this commission was worthless. And they've continued to state as much. That's all I got. Thank you for your time.
All right. Thank you. And we look forward to receiving your written comments.
Thank you. For those participating in public comment, please press *9 to raise your hand. We'll give it a moment for any participants to press *9 to raise your hand. Commissioners, it looks as if there are no further public comment participants.
Okay. Thank you very much. We appreciate that, Mr. Joseph. With that in mind, at this point, we're going to determine whether or not we, what our next steps are as a subcommittee, the ad hoc subcommittee, and we will have another hearing, and we may or may not have another interested persons meeting. I suspect we will, and we thank everyone who has been participating, and again, for anyone who's listening or hears this later, we really want to make this a open platform for people to make constructive comments, changes, recommendations on the existing Ethics Commission so that potentially we'll have some good reforms that we can at least be on record for that may or may not help shape actual changes in policy. And Commissioner Janot, anything further?
No, I'm fine. Thank you. Thank you all for participating.
All right. And I know that we have staff, which, by the way, staff will be very helpful in this. Anything further from staff today? David, our executive director.
Commissioner Dar, no, I just would like to, when the public makes comments, I think this is why we're having these subcommittee meetings. It's important to provide context to all of these issues. The Charter Section 700, we will be getting into the discussion about the layered due process of rights that are incorporated in there that speak to timing of enforcement cases or investigations that we would have no control over if an individual chooses to go through the entire process. So I think it's important for the public to understand and know those contexts in terms of timing. It's also important to know the context of, violations like a mailer that isn't provided in the context of the an entire audit that is conducted. The commission had adopted audit policies that allow curing and fixing by committees in order to avoid substantial enforcement actions. But that, again, the context, I understand the caller's concern about those issues, but that is the challenge of the work that we do, weighing, certain types of violations versus a violation that somebody might carry as an ethics violation for years. And when we talk about committee issues, we do have to consider taking a look at those as the entirety of the compliance that a committee has overall in all the work that we're doing. But again, we look forward to having these continued discussions on Article 7 and what we may come up with in order to improve the work that we do. We're always happy and willing to hear the public on the comments and see how we can incorporate those in the work that we do and continue moving forward.
Perfect. Anyone else? If not, we are probably at that point on our agenda for adjournment. So without hearing from anyone, we are hereby adjourned at 12:25 p.m.
Thank you. Thank you, commissioners. Thank you, everyone who's participated. This concludes the interested persons meeting conducted by the Ad Hoc Subcommittee on Charter Reform. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, commissioners.
Thank you. And thank you, Commissioner Janot.